Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my guest is Myoko Taylor, and he is author of Habitude, Busting Bad Habits and Making Good Ones. In our world today, there are so many people currently living a life that is not in alignment with their passion or purpose. They want to journey into a better life for themselves, but they have no clue where to begin. Myoko totally understands. In fact, he was one of them. After working at a job that made him miserable, financial hardships, and an unhealthy relationship of 7 years and declining health, Myoko officially hit rock bottom. He knew something had to change. His quest for fulfillment and happiness resulted in reading more than 175 books, a catalog of more than 300 audio CDs and podcasts, and attending many workshops on personal development. Myoko is an entrepreneur, author, speaker, and personal development coach. For more than 15 years, he has helped many people change their lives through his expertise in the areas of financial literacy, personal development, and entrepreneurship. He has been featured on television, social media, and regularly speaks to entrepreneurs and individuals at conferences. His books, workshops, and programs utilize his own experiences and consistently provide principles that are key to success in business and life. For more information, you can visit his website, which is MyokoTaylor.com, and that's M-E-I-Y-O-K. MeiyokoTaylor.com. And I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Myoko to the show. Good day, sir. Hello, Myoko?
Yes, am I on?
Yes, we have you there.
How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing good, sir. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm looking forward to chatting with you and tapping into some of that experience and the wisdom that you have. So,
awesome.
You know, I spoke a little bit in the introduction about your journey, but if you wouldn't mind just sharing with the listeners, you know, maybe just a little bit more detail of, you know, your journey and what got you into doing the work that you are currently.
Absolutely, no problem at all. I was always a dreamer and an ambitious person. So, to make a long story short, I was in a certain position, a state of being where I started to neglect the goals and the dreams that I once had, and it led me down a spiral of a lot of negative situations in my life. For example, I was working at a job that I absolutely hated, that didn't pay well at all. I knew it was somewhere I shouldn't be, but because I had, you know, self-limiting beliefs and I felt like I had to be in this particular situation to feel safe, I remained in that particular job. And not only that, I was in a relationship for 7 years, and it was a relationship I knew that I shouldn't have been in. It was a very unhealthy situation, as well as just with my declining health, just a lot of things spiraling out of control. And I gained over 75 pounds. And I just looked at myself in the mirror one day, and I didn't even recognize myself. And, you know, to be honest, I just burst into tears. And one of the questions I asked myself is, how did I even get here? And I just realized that I was in a place where I had to make one of two decisions. Either I was going to continue down this road and continue to have failing health and live an unfulfilling life, or I was going to make a change. Both decisions were very scary. The desire in me to want to change my life actually was greater than continuing down that path. So it was a scary decision for me. What I did is I, you know, quit that job, which I felt like was a security net, but it really wasn't. And we'll get into the mind and things like that a little bit later. I quit that job. The relationship ended that I had with a particular woman, and I really started to re-pursue entrepreneurship because it was something that I always kind of did on and off, but I really started to pursue it at that point. And it was a scary moment in my life, but I realized some things started to change. And that's when I really started to get into personal development. I was always a positive type of person, you know, coached other people and was the type of person you can come to for advice. But like I said, I had reached that period in my life where, you know, I've asked myself, how in the world did I get here? So what I started to do is I started to read a lot of different books, you know, by Brian Tracy, Brandon Bouchard, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, a lot of different personal development books, and I just really dived into that. So I read a lot of books, started listening to a lot of different podcasts, listening to CDs, and the amazing thing is my mind and my perspective started to change. Once my mind and my perspective started to change, little things in my life started to change as well. So I started to see progress in my business. I started to see progress in the relationships that I had with people. Instead of being negative and confrontational all the time, I became positive and looked at life in a more pleasant outlook. So as a result, just my whole life started to transform, and it pretty much led me up to the point where I am now, which is why I'm so passionate about helping other people, because I've been there. I'm not someone that is world-renowned and saying I've always been at this pinnacle point of success. I'm actually somebody that's been where you are and still, as a human being, still continues to learn and continues to develop. Contrary to what, you know, self-proclaimed gurus may tell you, it's always a continuous growing process. We are human beings, and we're all constantly learning and evolving and, you know, just really blossoming into who we are supposed to be.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I've even written about is when it comes to experts, it's like, you know, you can always find an expert in something, you know, and quite often if someone just focuses so completely, you know, in one particular area, quite often I have seen through people who I've known personally, other areas in life, you know, kind of fall by the wayside. So, you know, the idea of constantly being learning, and just being in that mode and not, you know, trying to put oneself as a guru or a complete subject matter expert. You know, I mean, I think that in itself is very healthy and one that people would benefit by recognizing, you know, that, you know, get on that path, you know, and when it comes to a, you know, expert, so to speak, you know, listen like you did, but internalize and put it into place for yourself, right?
You said something very, very important, and it's one of the things I have in a upcoming book. We look at a lot of these people that are experts in their fields, which is awesome. That's the amazing thing about books and about social media and the internet. You always have access to this great information. But the mistake a lot of people make is they don't internalize it and they don't apply it to who they really are. So they lose their authenticity of themselves and who they really are, and they try to be like these other people. These other people have their own experiences, their own trials, their own successes. You will never be like that particular individual. That information is there for you to grasp it, to apply it, and how to and enhance it to who you are as a human being. And I think that's oftentimes not explained. So I really like the way you said internalizing it, because you really have to apply it to yourself in a way that actually suits you.
Right.
But one of the things in the very beginning, I'll just share this real quickly. I was looking at a lot of these personal development gurus, if you want to call them that, and I was trying to model my journey after theirs, not realizing that's not the way it goes. You know, you're your own individual. Your journey is going to be different. You're going to face a completely different set of problems. And then there's going to be some of the basic similar problems anybody faces in their business and entrepreneurship and in life, but it's always a unique experience. You can't completely apply what you've read to your, you know, to your entire life, because it's going to be different. And life is just different for every individual. I'm sure you have stories that I haven't experienced. I have stories that you haven't experienced. But we can apply the same knowledge from a book or from a podcast or from an audio CD and, you know, take that information in ways where it's going to actually benefit us as individuals.
Yeah, I agree completely. And quite often, you know, that piece is missing when the information is presented to people. You know,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times it comes off as, you know, these are the seven keys that will make you successful. Follow
yes.
that, and you will, without a doubt, have success in financial abundance in your life. You know, so, and then when people don't, it's like, oh my God, what the heck happened here?
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and one of the things that I think is great about your story is that, like you say, that, you know, you've been there. You know, there are so many people I know who are in, you know, actually all of those areas, that idea of a job where they don't like or where they despise,
mm-hmm.
The relationships that aren't working, and even, you know, the weight gain and the fear, you know, and it all comes back, it seems, to the fear of moving forward or change.
Yes, and you said the biggest word, fear. That kept me, you know, chained and in prison for such a long time because of fear. A lot of people aren't doing a lot of things that they should do in life to push them closer to success because of fear. Fear is the root cause of procrastination, and a lot of people don't know that. A lot of us, we procrastinate because of the fear of something, doing something undesirable, which is, in reality, a habit. So fear is definitely a big factor in that. You know, it amazes me. We can learn a lot from a child. When we were younger, when we were growing up, when we were infants, before we learned how to walk, you know, we stagger a little bit and we fall on our bottom and we laugh, you know, because we were seeing some type of advancements and learning to walk. But we made mistake after mistake after mistake, and we kept going. We were so resilient. We were persistent. We had a good time. We enjoyed the journey. And then the next thing you know, mom and your daddy's in the kitchen and you're just walking around. It's like you're grown now, you know, like you're an adult. And I think we lose sight of that as we get older. You know, instead of being creative and experimenting and seeing how far our potential can take us, you know, it's don't cross the street, don't talk to strangers. All those things are good for children, don't get me wrong. But I think we hold on to those things as we become adults, and then we don't want to try. We don't want to, you know, talk to that stranger. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. So we put ourselves in this, you know, glass house where everything, you have this broad, nice spectrum, you know, this vast, vast meadows of beautiful things, you know, outside of your glass house, but you're just, you know, comfortable just standing, you know, sitting inside it. And, you know, the real world is out there, you know, outside of this little box that you put yourself in. And I think so many people are like that. So many people are screaming to get out of the norm and get out of that regular 9-to-5. And they have these amazing gifts within them and amazing contributions that they can contribute to the world, but they're just too afraid to actually take that step. So I feel like it's my mission to say, hey, you know what? I was somebody that's there, and I'm still scared, and I'm still taking, you know, steps to opportunities that are presented before me. So it's not a thing where the fear is completely gone. You will always have fear with you. You just can't let it control you.
Yeah.
You know, you have to feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, you know, because for people out there who are fearful or who are reluctant to take that leap of faith to do something new or even be something different, and since, you know, you, and we all, like you say, we all really are confronted by fear often. For you, how do you battle that? How do you confront or manage fear when it pops up now in your life?
Well, you know, I know it's experience. I think one of the first fearful moments I had was leaving that particular job. And, I mean, I was scared to death. But when I actually made the step and I just saw one sign of progress, that completely lifted, you know, my confidence. So when I actually saw the progress, I said, hey, wait a second. Let me try to step out of my comfort zone for something else that I'm really afraid of. And then I stepped out of my comfort zone for that, and then I kept making more progress. See, people don't understand. The end result of stepping out of that fear and out of that comfort zone is progress. You cannot make progress if you allow fear to continue to stand in the middle. It's just not going to happen. And I think I've done it so many times. And there are some things that still scare me, no question. But I've developed a history of so many times where I have stepped out of my comfort zone. I know something good is going to come from it. Because you're going to experience the same type of uncomfortable feeling if it's outside of your comfort zone. You might experience sweaty palms, the headache, turning stomach. You know how it is when you get nervous because something is it's a different change happening. Your body and your mind is not accustomed to this. It's like, hey, what's going on? This is something different. This is out of the norm. What are you doing? So when you step outside of this, I have enough experience now to know that some type of progress somewhere, somehow is going to be made. And just to share something personal, you know, with everybody listening and with yourself, even with my message, you know, my message is to, you know, inspire 1 million people, you know, to take control of their life, to find their passion, and to, you know, awaken the greatness that is within them. That's my goal. And in order for me to do that, I have to launch myself consistently out there and get this message to everybody that I can. That in and of itself can be out of your comfort zone. There can be fear there. There can be reservation there. But your desire to do something, your desire for the result, and the passion that you have for that has to outweigh the fear. But the fear is always going to be there. It's never going to go away. So if we have somebody listening that thinks, oh, one day I'm going to be fearless, it's not true. You're always going to have some level of fear when it comes to something. But some people have mastered controlling the fear. Fear is a natural reaction. It is a natural emotion. It's a reaction. It's always going to be there. You know, I mean, you walk across the street and a car gets too close to you, you may jump back. It's fear. It's always going to be there. And I think people need to understand that. It's how to control it. And once I realized fear was always going to be there, it kind of gave me a little bit of peace of mind. Okay, fear is always going to be here, so how do I deal with it? There has to be a way to deal with it. And, you know, that's the remedy. You just have to do it. You know, I think sometimes the more we analyze something when we're afraid of it, the further we get away from actually doing it. I think that's really the danger.
Well, fear of, you know, standing in front of a moving car is valid. You don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know, I'm always thinking. But, you know, certainly, you know, getting outside of one's comfort zone, you know, is, you know, and you know, I agree that the best way to work with it is those little successes that you have, like you say, you know the incremental, you know, because once you experience, you know, a success of having, you know, confronted or grasped a fearful situation, then you know, and especially if it has a positive outcome, it's like, oh, hey, you know, this is good. You know,
absolutely,
we can do more of it.
I think it's people. I want to make sure I say this the right way. Sometimes when it comes to forming a habit or getting out of the aspect of fear and doing what we have to do, sometimes we set the bar too high. If it's something that absolutely scares us to death, sometimes it's good to take small little victories, and that's something that I've learned. Even when forming good habits, it is really, really powerful when you actually break it down in small increments, because the power is in the repetition. If you can do this over and over and you're making progress, you're really starting to build your confidence. You're starting to build, you know, that muscle that is pushing towards the things that you're afraid of. And I'll just share something now, even because I'm a very, very big proponent of sharing my own personal experiences. That's just the type of person that I am. So exercise is one of those things. I've always been slim. I've always been athletic. But as you get older, you know, you kind of get a little sedentary.
I know.
You don't exercise as much. So I told myself, I said, you know what? I said, I'm here, I'm teaching all these people, and people are being inspired and all these different things. And I know exercise is one thing that's very important. Yeah, I walk every now and then, but I really need to start being more active. You know, I can't tell people to exercise as much as they should when I'm not doing the same. I'm just a believer of that. So I said, you know what? I have an elliptical machine. So here's what I'm going to do. And this is some recent things. I said, you know what? I'm going to get on that machine for 5 minutes. And most people, you may say, 5 minutes, that's really nothing. That's not the point of the exercise. So you get on the elliptical machine for 5 minutes. You get off. And you do that 5 days a week. 5 minutes is very easy if you have a machine or whatever you have at home. It's very, very simple. So you do this 5 minutes at a time. So you'll find after that fifth day, something within you is really like, oh, man, maybe I need to go down there for 5 minutes. But you don't want to do any more than 5 minutes. Then the next week, you up it a minute. So now instead of 5 minutes, you're doing six. And then the next week, instead of doing six, you're doing seven. Next thing you know, you're on an elliptical machine for 45 minutes eventually. So what you've done is you've ingrained a habit in your daily system. That's just how the brain works. And it's absolutely amazing. I adapt this particular exercise for a lot of things in my life. I mean, you can apply it to absolutely everything. But the way the brain records information and it starts to work on autopilot and then your body follows, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Probably an hour and a half before today's show, I've just started getting tempted to my exercising. I was like, oh, I didn't go to the gym today. I didn't go to the gym today. It's like, oh, no, but I've got my show in an hour and a half. It's like, that's okay. So anyway, I decided, well, you know what? You can go. You don't have to do a full workout, but you're going to go ahead and do it.
You got it. You got the right idea. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's about the habit. I mean, these guys and women that we see that are, you know, sweating their butts off and doing all these crazy exercises, they have these ingrained habits in their system already. So that's the key. You have to – that's how you create a habit. It's small little things consistently and really understanding how the dynamics of a habit, you know, the triggers, the behaviors, the rewards. There's only three components that make up a habit, and most people don't understand what those are.
Yeah, and we're going to get to those. We're going to take a short break in a couple minutes, and we'll get to those elements of the habit right after that. But before we do, I do want to let listeners know that if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions that you would like for me to ask, feel free to type them in, and we will get those answered. So before we go to the break, your book, Habitude, Busting Bad Habits and Making Good Ones. So I have to ask, Habitude, that's a very unusual name or a coined term. So can you explain that?
Okay, Habitude it's kind of like it's attitude. But instead of attitude, it's Habitude. It's a lifestyle. It's a state of being. It's one that's self-aware of their habits. So having the right habitude would be, you know, exercising at 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, right before you go to work, as opposed to, you know, eating a cheeseburger and laying around for 45 minutes. So having the right habitude is just like having a positive mindset. It falls particularly in that category. So it's a state of being. When it comes to your habits, it's just an incredible level of self-awareness. So I just coined it Habitude.
Okay,
because
I like that.
It truly
is. Yeah.
You have to have the right attitude to form good habits. So, Habitude.
Yes. You know, and that's the one thing, I mean, That's the one thing when it comes to changing habits, you know, incorporating more good and busting those that are bad. Attitude is just really key, key to that. And I was
It sets the bar for everything.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to take just a quick 90-second break, and then when we come back, I want to go ahead and start talking about the elements that make up a habit, because I think, when reading your book, I mean, it really made it nice and clear, and it's great for people to be able to dissect habits and be able to make a first effort in changing them, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Miyoko Taylor. And again, you can find out more by visiting his website, miyokotaylor.com. And I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. And with that, we're back. Miyoko?
All right, so I think you wanted to talk about
Before we do that, I just want to let people know that on your website, you know, they can, put in their email address and get a copy of Habitude, correct?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
It's right on the homepage.
Great. Everybody, just want to let you know, everybody, I love my free things, and it's always nice to have things that can help make your life easier, and this book is certainly one of them. So let's go ahead and talk about the elements that make up habits or habit forming.
Okay. All right. So there's three core elements that make up a habit. The first one is a trigger. The second one is the behavior, and lastly, the reward. To better clarify that, let's say, for example, and I always use weight in women because I just know women are sensitive when it comes to weight. We all know that. So let's
and
say
men.
And men.
I wasn't on that treadmill for nothing.
So let's say you have... Let's say you have a little girl, and growing up, her mother was a stickler for weight. And every time she gained 5 pounds, her mother would say she was fat. Okay? This is going to be a very harsh example, but I want to hammer the point home. So every time she gained 5 pounds, she says she was fat. She was heavy. She needed to do something about it. Okay, say this particular woman grows up. No, let me circle back. Okay, she says she... is overweight, she needs to do something about it. So the little girl, what she does is she won't eat breakfast or lunch. All right, she'll just eat dinner. She'll lose the 5 pounds, mother's fine, she's fine, all is well with the world. This child grows up to be an adult in society, and what happens is she goes from 120 to 125 pounds. what's going to happen to that, you know, that woman at the point, at that point, she's going to say, oh my God, I gained 5 pounds. I'm overweight. I'm fat. Now it's time to starve myself so I can lose this weight. That's a very good example of a trigger, a behavior, and a reward. And here's why. The trigger was she remembered back then how her mother used to tell her that she was fat. She was overweight when she gained 5 pounds. Okay? The behavior was she stopped eating. She didn't eat breakfast and she didn't eat lunch. The reward was when she became 5 pounds less, she was fine in her space once again. Now, here's the problem with that particular habit. One, it's not healthy. And two, it's actually going to do more harm to her emotionally than good in the long run. Because what that habit did is that habit took 5 pounds and turned it into 500.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just an example, one example of a trigger behavior and a reward. I can give you another example. This is for all my business people. You know, say you're a successful business executive, and let's say you're a high-powered attorney or whatever, and you close a big case, multi-million-dollar deal, everybody's happy. First thing you do is you go out, pop a bottle, you know, pop some bottles of champagne, you order the most expensive steak, you order a la carte, you do all that stuff. And you do this every single time that you win a big case. Okay, the trigger is you win a big case, accomplishment, achievement. The behavior is, okay, now I have to go buy the expensive champagne, the steaks, order everything you want, all that expensive, good, rich food. Okay? All right? So the reward is the taste, the ambiance, the feeling of accomplishment, those types of things. Problem is, consistent behavior like that may lead to high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, being severely overweight, stroke, you name it. You know, those particular things. So that's another example of a habit that may not be serving you well, but it's triggered by a particular experience, whether it be, you know, childhood, something that you developed based on how you were treated as a child, or accomplishing something. Now, I'm not saying you can't treat yourself when you accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, you know, a specific trigger setting off a set of behaviors or habits that may not be serving you well in the long run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to give one last example.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a grown adult female growing up. You know, she had a sister, and her sister used to, you know, treat her horribly. I mean, used to pull her hair and do all kind of mean things to her. Okay? So it induced a behavior for her to develop some type of hate or animosity towards her sister. Okay? So she may actually hit on her sister to get her to stop. So that was the reward, you know, the relief of her sister, you know, not picking on her. Or not pulling her hair or doing these types of things. Okay, so let's say she gets older and, you know, she sees a little girl playing outside and her sister's, you know, being kids. You know, we pick on each other when we're kids, pulling her hair or doing something in her mind that may remind her of how her sister used to treat her. So all of a sudden, and I've seen this actually happen, she may go over to the other little girl bothering, you know, her sister, and she displays some form of aggression, not because she's doing anything wrong, but because it reminded her or it triggered something in her past that induced a certain behavior when she was younger, and it kind of manifested in her as she was older. So now she feels like she has to save every sister, you know, from being bullied or being picked on or things like that. So it may affect her in a more profound way than it would affect me or you based on a trigger that was developed in her past.
Right. Okay. So those examples are examples of habits that result in behaviors that are on the negative side, you know, that aren't
yes.
constructive.
Yes.
That aren't constructive.
Yes.
So I want to kind of break down our discussion right now to the two areas of bad behaviors, for lack of a better term, judgment, bad behaviors and good behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
bad behaviors having that negative impact on your life, you know, and happiness, whereas good promoting that. So in those cases where you have a habit that is causing you distress or others' distress,
mm-hmm.
is the way to change that habit, is it basically have to start with first recognizing what the trigger is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you have to recognize what the trigger is. I will give you a perfect example. My parents, two awesome, awesome, awesome people. But growing up, you know, one of the things that was commonly, you know, said was, you know, money is the root of all evil. Well, if you want to use that term, they say the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, so a lot of people misquote that term. So growing up, I used to think that if you had money, you know, you were evil or something was particularly wrong with you. So what I would do is every time I pull up to somebody at the stoplight that may have driven a Ferrari or a Mercedes or that particular type of car, my first reaction was, you know, they must have done something horrible. Who they have to, what they have to steal or who they have to hurt or do wrong or smuggle, you know, to gain
mm-hmm.
that particular type of money. So that was my initial thought process. You know, so the trigger was the material external that I saw. And this person may have not been wealthy at all. They just may have been driving a decent car. But that was the trigger, you know, that actually triggered in me. So when I actually started going through the personal development and all those different things, and the reward, by the way, was the fact that, yeah, that makes sense because, you know, money is the root of all evil, so I'm okay. You know, as long as I'm not making money, I'm okay.
As long as I don't have money, I'm good.
Yeah. Do you realize how crazy that sounds?
I know.
But this is, I can honestly say, this is something that I truly believe. And it wasn't until I started to really grasp hold of a lot of different personal developments and an understanding of, you know, what was even being said at the time as I got older. Now when I pull up to somebody and I see them, they may drive a nice car, look very nice, I say they must work really hard, you know, to get to where they've gotten, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to have gratitude and to be thankful even for someone I don't know. They must be making a difference in the world. They are offering tremendous value to someone. And it's paying off, monetarily. And the reward for me is being able to have gratification or being able to acknowledge someone else's accomplishment. That was the reward. So now when I look at somebody that is doing well for something for them, the trigger already is there to, you know what, I'm going to acknowledge them for the value that they're giving to somebody else because they have to be giving some type of value.
Right.
You know? And that's my behavior, the acknowledgement. And the reward is, ah, yes, I feel good because I really gave that, you know, that due credit to someone else. So it's amazing how triggers, behaviors, and rewards work because we can develop habits, whether they're good or whether they're bad, without even knowing them. And I think that's the scary thing. I really do. Because you're going to develop some kind of habit. I think that's an important point. To really let everybody know, you're going to develop a habit, whether you like it or not. You're doing something every day that's going to develop a habit. So you might as well have some high level of self-awareness to realize what type of habits you have and to you know, start making minor changes and infusing those changes with the current habit that you have, so you can kind of, you know, flip tip the scale here, because you're going to develop habits.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. First of all, you know, if you're living, breathing, and you're, you know, of older than 4 or 5 years old, you're going to have habits. You know, and
in many ways,
habits are important in a way, because when it comes to processing all of our daily activities and the amount of decisions that we have to make, at times, you know, having a habit is convenient. It you know, reduces stress in many ways. In many ways, you know, as far as having to sit down, examine, make, you know, decide, you know, I mean, it kind of streamlines the thought processes in many ways.
Here's the problem, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Here's the problem. We don't control the habit. The habit controls us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the big thing. We don't control the habit. The habit controls us. And the next thing you know, we're just coasting by life with all these horrible habits, and we're not getting anywhere. And we're blaming the world, and we're blaming everyone else. We're blaming the president. We're blaming the dog next door. We're blaming the neighbor across the street. We're blaming the street. We're blaming all these different things, but the reality is we allow our habits to control us.
Right. Yeah. Now, I understand what you're saying, you know, as far as habits controlling us instead of us controlling one of the things that you point out in your book is that really habits are based on daily action taken, you know, on a repeated basis is what creates
mm-hmm.
habits. So,
mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that if we, you know, if the daily choices, the daily decisions that we make and the actions that we take create positive habits, you know, replacing
mm-hmm.
some of those destructive ones, that
mm-hmm.
that is a good thing. If our life is guided by habits, you know, but they're positive in the way that they, you know, support a healthy lifestyle, you know, make for positive, happy living, then
mm-hmm.
it seems like that's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. And you control that. You control
yeah.
the habits that you want to create. For example, say you want to work out. I always use the workout thing because that's the rage now, working out. And I'm on Instagram, and I see all these people with these fit bodies. So, you know, exercising, working out is the end thing. So let's say you know that you have to work out. And
right.
A very common one, you may have heard this before, some people what they do is the night before, if they know they have to work out in the morning, they go to sleep in their workout clothes. They either do that or they have their workout clothes right next to the bed. So when
mm-hmm.
they get up, they actually see them. And what happens is that triggers in their mind, I got to work out. I have no choice, especially if you're wearing your workout clothes to bed. I hope they're clean. But you know, you're wearing your workout clothes to bed, so when you get up, it kind of obligates you to actually work out. So
right.
through time, of course, you won't have to do that, but the trigger is waking up, seeing that you're dressed, ready to work out. The behavior is going to work out. The reward is, I finally accomplished a good habit. So it kind of encourages you to want to do the same thing, you know, the next day, then the next day, then the next day. And then you get to a point where you don't really have to sleep in your workout clothes. You know, it's just ingrained in you. Okay, up, workout, up, workout, up, workout. And I think it's easier to develop a bad habit than a good one. I think that rings true with a lot of people, because the bad habit, for example, you choosing to have 2 slices of cheesecake instead of 1,
What?
There's no resistance to getting, you know, if you're going to give in and eat all the cheesecake you want. I love cheesecake, by the way. If you're going to give in and eat all the cheesecake you want, there's really no level of resistance. So there's no level of self-discipline needed to really create a lot of the bad habits, because we're just at ease. We're just doing them. We're going through the motions. But when you start to change them is when you really see the resistance, when you're trying to change them. You know, so I think most of the self-discipline comes in creating good habits. And you know, we can, if you want, go through some examples of, you know, good habits that can actually be created. But
yeah,
that takes some discipline.
I think that would be a great thing, yeah, because we're down to about 15 minutes or so here. But, yeah, I would like to spend a little bit of time on that because, you know, first of all, again, when it comes to shifting bad habits and changing those, you know, I think, you know, we've spent a lot of time on that. And then, you know, like you say, they're easily made, you know, bad habits are easy. Now, in your example, you know, for those of us who were on the treadmill, you know, that second piece of cheesecake means, you know, an extra long time on that treadmill. So it's like, okay, I don't need that much cheesecake. You know, so I think, you know, once you recognize the impact of a bad habit, you know, and you know, rationalize, recognize, you know, that what the quote cost is, then it's easier, I think, easier to be able to make the change. The choices become easier to make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so now good habits. You know, let's talk. Let's spend a little bit of time on how to create good habits.
Okay. All right. One of the biggest things when it comes to creating good habits is visualization. I actually talk about that in the book. What visualization does is it actually reinforces the value of the habit, the value that the habit is going to have on your life, the impact that it's going to have. So what you do in that particular instance is you imagine yourself as if the habit is already established, okay? So what will my life be like if I establish this habit? What would it change for me? What will it change in my family's life? How will it affect my business? How will it affect my health? How will it affect every aspect of my life in a nutshell? So you want to do that. You want to visualize it before you even start working on this particular habit. You want to visualize it. So let's say, for example, if you want to develop a habit, you know, you're in college and you want to study every morning. You may want to set your alarm clock earlier than usual. You know, have your book open, have your pen out, and have the alarm clock wake you up a little bit earlier. You know you're going to be slugging around. By the time you pretty much have yourself together, it's time to study. So you're kind of developing a routine where once you develop this ingrained habit, you're going to be right where you need to be. So that's one little small example of developing a good habit, but it starts with the visualization. I mean, that's really where it starts. Your habit has to be, and I definitely want to stress this, your habit has to be compelling to the point where when you develop this is going to change your life dramatically in some way. Whether it's exercising, whether it's, you know, to quit smoking, and that's a completely different habit altogether, because then that's, you have habits and then you have addictions. And, you know, so that's completely different. But if when you realize that your habit is going to change your life in a dramatic way, then, you know, that's when it really has power, and it really gives you the desire to want to transform it into a good habit. For example, when I was blaming everybody for everything going wrong in my life, when I developed these motivational CDs and all these people who were successful, you know, I really realize that, wow, I have the ability to change my life. I'm in control. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start thinking positive, start listening to affirmations, start to take actions on the directions where I wanted to go in my life. All those are habits. So I made a habit of, you know, listening to affirmations. You know, a lot of people don't listen to them, but I listen to them. I think they're very good because what they do is they reprogram your brain So when you have those negative thoughts, you've got all these positive thoughts that become a part of your mind, and now you can combat all these limiting beliefs and these negative beliefs. And that was a habit to me. I would listen to affirmations every morning, and I would listen to affirmations when I went to bed. Like, I would just put my headphones in and put them in my ear. I'd go to sleep, and they became an ingrained part of, you know, who I am, and they became a habit. So, you know, because I developed that habit, I knew if I could change my mindset, and this is how the visualization works. I knew if I could change my mindset, not only could I help other people, but I would dramatically change my life. Things would change for me, and it's proven true.
Yeah.
So that was how I used visualization for me.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, keeping in mind that loop, the elements, the trigger, behavior, reward system.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, you know, what you're saying, like, for example, the exercise, you know, you're basically setting the stage to be triggered.
Yes.
For that
yes.
better habit. And then you follow
yes.
through with the behavior. And then it seems like it would be beneficial to also have some kind of reward system as a result, just to reinforce that positive behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So for example, what I used to do is when I would get out of my comfort zone and when I would do something scary and I would make a certain level of progress, I would always buy myself like an ice cream. Something small, something simple. But what I was doing is I was teaching myself, okay, ice cream, I don't want to eat it all the time, but, you know, I accomplished something. So I'm going to reward myself. Something small, something tasty, something sweet. It's a guilty pleasure. You know, that type of
right.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reward. So I definitely agree with what you're saying. You definitely have to reinforce the reward. You know, but at the end of the day, the visualization has to be there. And I'm actually glad we kind of brought that up, because if your habit is not really compelling and it's not really going to change anything, you're kind of dead in the water before you even start. So it has to be something like, for, you know, for example, if you know that you have a job and you can be promoted if you're an excellent public speaker, like that's something that's needed in your job, and you love talking to people, you absolutely love it, you talk around your family members, your friends, but it's something about when you're talking in a professional environment, you kind of clam up. But you know if you can accomplish this one thing, it would change everything. It would change your income, it would change, you know, your position at the job. I mean, it would change a lot of different things for you. It would put you in another space of progression.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular thing, you may have to look at all the benefits, and those benefits outweigh the fear. They outweigh the uncomfortable feeling of trying to develop, getting out of this comfort zone and trying to develop the habit of practicing on, you know, a speech you know, practicing your public speaking skills. But the benefit, the visualization, that's what's going to be key to helping you build that habit.
Yeah. Okay. And now, guys, we're down toward the end, but I do want to also point out, now, when it comes to creating those positive habits, if you can find someone who has a similar desire, like, for example, I have a workout buddy, then that also helps, doesn't it, in strengthening that commitment to making a new habit.
Oh, yes. I think you definitely need an accountability partner. I think everybody needs an accountability partner. I mean, I'm a coach and I have a coach. I think everybody needs somebody to hold them accountable at some point. Even though we develop these great habits, some of us are motivated. Sometimes we're not always motivated to do things. Sometimes we slack off a little bit. So to have that person there to, you know, push you, to hold you accountable, that goes a long way. So sometimes what I do is I'll tell somebody a habit that I want to develop or something that I want to accomplish. And because I told them, now I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I apply this certain level of pressure because it holds me accountable, because I know that person is going to ask me, hey, how's it going? Did you do X, Y, and Z? And I don't want to, I don't want to be the person to say, man, I didn't even get started. So, you know, it holds you accountable, but it also, you also develop a habit of when you're, you know, you're making a plan and you're seeking out to do something, but having that person to hold you accountable, it's actually developing a habit, because the trigger is that person. When they ask you, hey, you said within 30 days you're going to be doing this. So now it's just like, oh, my God. So the behavior that that triggers is, oh, I better get on the ball. I haven't even started, or I'm not where I should be. And then the reward is, ah, you know what? I told that person, and I was a person of my word, and I accomplished what I accomplished, and I just feel awesome. So that's the reward.
Absolutely. Well, great. Well, Miyoko, this has really been great. The hour has just kind of flown by.
Oh, wow. Hour already.
Yeah. So now, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, can you, what kind of services do you offer?
Pretty much I do personal development coaching. This is for anybody that, whether you're a business owner, whether you're an individual, you know, like I said before in the beginning, we all have an amazing within us. One of my key things I always say is find your amazing. Find that thing that makes you unique, the thing that you're passionate about, the thing that you should be sharing, the value that you should be adding with the world. So if that sounds like that, somebody that, you know, you're stuck in the 9-to-5, you're stuck in relationships that you, you know, you need to, you know, break free of. And I'm not just talking about, you know, romantic relationships. There are some relationships that are unhealthy that are just relationships. So these are things that I usually deal with on a regular basis. You know, if you have an amazing idea about a business and you just don't know how to craft your story or to really develop that value, you know, to give to the world, those are other things, you know, that I other people type of people that I work with, you know, on a regular basis. So it's really, really about the complete, you know, development of the person's passion, their purpose, and of course their profits, because you want to be able to monetize the things that you want to do. Money does definitely have its importance, but it's not the most important thing, as I always say.
Right, yeah. It has its place. I agree. Well, I really want to thank you for your time. I've really enjoyed our chat, and I do want to remind people that they can go to your website, put in their email address to be able to get a free copy of Habitude. So
yes, and if they want to reach out to me on social media, I am on Twitter and Instagram, and my name is Miyoko Taylor, first name, last name. Like the website.
Yep, and it is, if people go to your website, the little buttons for both of those are right at the top, and I'm following you now on Twitter. So I'm looking forward to keeping in touch, and I really want to thank you for your time today.
It was a pleasure, Robert. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Miyoko Taylor. We've been talking about his book, Habitude, Busting Bad Habits and Making Good Ones. And again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is www.miyokotaylor.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again...
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.